How many of you have had the experience? You've been at a family gathering or at an office party or something, and somebody comes to you and says, would you pray for the meal? You ever had that experience? Probably what happened next to most was heart rate immediately 120, sweaty palms, dry mouth, right? And you're like, every part of you wants to say, no, not me, ask somebody else, right? Why? Why do we feel that way? Or maybe you're in small group, and the small group leader says, as we close this evening, we're just going to pray around the circle. We want you to pray for the person on your right. We're going to pray out loud for you. And you just, no, I don't know how to do this. Would you agree, or some of you maybe would not agree, but how many of you would say prayer can be intimidating? Not very many of you. Man, that's awesome. I don't need to preach this message then. I find prayer can be rather intimidating, especially public prayer. If there was one part of the ministry that I would be glad to hand off, it would be the Sunday morning prayer. You know why? Because you're listening to me. And I'm thinking, what if I use wrong grammar? What if I stumble? What if I get stuck on a word? What I say doesn't make sense? And so often I dread the Sunday morning pastoral prayer. You don't know what's going through my mind as I'm sitting there or standing there. How am I going to begin this? Where am I going to go with this prayer? What am I going to say? And they're all going to listen. Well, the reality is I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. But I don't like it when you're listening to me talking to God. Prayer can be intimidating. I've found that prayer is rather sometimes confusing. I think prayer is, as we come to understand it, is probably shaped in us by our upbringing. In my upbringing, I heard prayer done in many ways. There were those who prayed on Sunday morning at our church who, it was like God was deaf. And they just, it's like, they started, dear God, we want to just thank you. And then they just go, you know, wow, 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 wow. And like, oh, is that how you pray? And then, you know, we're all taught that to pray, you have to close your eyes. But W.H. Johnson, who was a retired Nazarene minister who attended the church that I was a part of, our pastor would have him pray, and he would stand at the pulpit and look over the congregation with his eyes open as he prayed the Sunday morning prayer. How do I know? Because my eyes were open too. But we were taught to close our eyes. And then we had a guest pastor that would come, and he was an evangelist or something, and his name was Marion Guy. And I'm not going to exaggerate. I'm going to tell you what he did when the pastor would ask him to pray. He would come to the platform, kneel beside the pulpit, throw his head back, and here are his first two words. Oh, God. That's how he began his prayer. And then you had those who, when they prayed, it was in hushed tones, with reverence, quiet. And then others who wept as they prayed. How do you do this? How do you pray? Others were very conversational in the way that they said their prayer. And then there were some who would get stuck on a word. God, we want to thank you, God, that you're God. And God, we ask God that you would help us, God. And it's like, good grief. We don't talk like that to one another. I don't go, Neil, man, Neil, it was great, Neil. And it's like, and then we had those who all of a sudden became 1611 King James. Heavenly Father, we thank thee because thou hast givest and takest and all the these and thou stuff. And it's like, okay, is that how you pray? And then you have those who, when they began their prayer, had about 10 adjectives. Our most kind, loving, gracious, omnipotent, almighty, omnipresent, heavenly Father. And it's like, we don't even talk like that. I don't meet Neil and have 10 adjectives in front of his name before I can speak to him. How do we pray? Prayer can be extremely challenging. I've heard people say most of my life, I really enjoy my time of prayer, just enjoying the presence of God. And often my response internally was, I don't. Because it seems to me that prayer has been work. Now, I've had those moments when I've really enjoyed my time with God. And when I sense God's presence, I love it. Time and time again, I've said, God, teach me to pray. I don't know how to do this. And it seems after I ask him to help me, day after week, after month, after year, my prayers seem to be the same. I feel like a broken record. Early spring, I said, Lord, please teach me to pray. And about that time, I received the information about the pastor summit, the UB pastor summit that was held down in Daytona in April. And I discovered that the topic was prayer. And my response was, great. Couldn't they find a more interesting, I mean, we're pastors. Couldn't they find, and I was really not excited about the topic. I was looking forward to meeting with the other pastors, but the topic? We get into the first session down there, and God was so kind. He says, Rocky, didn't you ask me to teach you to pray? And all of a sudden, my attitude changed. I looked forward to what we were getting ready to learn. We were introduced to an author who has done a lot of teaching and preaching on prayer. His name is Daniel Henderson. A couple of books that I've just finished reading, Old Paths, New Power, Transforming Prayer. We were introduced to his material and his pattern of praying. And it's been convicting, challenging, and exciting all at the same time. Convicting in that it's helped me to understand how little I know about prayer. Challenging in that I'm having to relearn how to pray. And exciting in I'm learning how to see who God is in greater ways. I'm not going to talk to you this morning from a perspective of having this thing called prayer figured out. After what I've already said, you may have already shut me off because I was so transparent. But if you haven't, I would ask that you would listen as I share with you some thoughts. I'm not even going to preach, just some thoughts about prayer. And maybe you've connected with some of the things I've said this morning. Maybe you've been challenged in your prayer life or not knowing how to do it or wishing that you could learn better. I'm not going to pretend that this is the answer to everything, but maybe it will be beneficial to you this morning. Jesus taught a lot on prayer. We have at least 11 or 12 instances in the Gospels where Jesus goes apart and prays. We find him teaching his disciples to pray. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has a section on prayer. And I would invite your attention to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 5 through 13, and then just make a few comments and observations. And then I want to share with you some things I've adapted from Daniel Henderson's teaching on prayer. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Just a few observations from Jesus' teaching. It seems, first of all, that Jesus expects his followers to pray. Did you notice what he said? When you pray. He didn't say if you pray, but he says when you do this. Folks, if we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we do need to spend time in prayer. Not if, but when we do this. Jesus then makes a couple of observations of what not to do when you pray. First of all, he says, do not make a show of prayer. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, they would find a busy street corner at the prayer time. Oh, I've got to pray, and they would make a show. They would find the most visible place in the temple area, and that's where they would do their prayers. Jesus says, no, it's not about a show. Prayer is not about trying to put something together that looks good. You're not trying to impress anybody. That's not what prayer is about. But if I say it right, and if I use the right words and stand in the right way, people will be impressed with how spiritual I am. Prayer is not a production. He then tells them, don't try to manipulate God. He talks about the pagans and how they would babble and they would have lots of words. Folks, prayer is not about saying all of the right words, the flowery speech, so that God goes, that was impressive. I'll give you what you want now. You're not going to impress God. So don't try to manipulate him to get what you want. So if I just say it right, God will do this for me. I love what Jesus says. Listen, he already knows what you have need of before you ask. So just ask him. Don't try to impress him at all or manipulate him. Then he gives a what to do. Find a private place and get alone with God. The King James mentions, go into your closet and shut the door. The NIV says, to your room. I don't think Jesus was specifically meaning only go into a room and shut the door to pray. I think the picture is, find a private place, get alone with God, push aside all the distractions that come, and then you and God can have conversation. It's in those quiet moments, in those private moments alone with God, where we can pour out our hearts, where we can just say, God, here's what's going on. Maybe there's sin that needs to be confessed or something else. We can just say, God, it's just me. Here's what's going on. And we don't have to worry about anybody else listening in to what we're saying to God. We need to find that alone time with God. That's what verse 6 tells us. Then Jesus goes into what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, we often, or maybe not so often, repeat it. And there's nothing wrong with repeating that prayer. But Jesus didn't give us that prayer for us to just memorize it, and that's the only thing we pray. This prayer is a pattern of how to pray, not the specific words to pray. It's a pattern. Daniel Henderson has taken the Lord's Prayer and given us a biblical pattern of prayer. I'm not here to tell you this is the only way we should pray, but this is a way that may be helpful for you. He uses four R words: reverence, response, request, and readiness. And what I want to do this morning in the time we have remaining is to just quickly talk about each of those four words and look at how it connects with the Lord's Prayer, and then at the very end, illustrate how we can do this in our own time of prayer with God. First of all, we have reverence. The first part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Is there any request in that first part of the prayer? Are we asking God for anything in this part of the prayer? No. We're just saying, "God, I recognize you are in heaven. You're my Father. You're above me. Your name is to be lifted up and honored. I am to be in awe of who you are. You are great. You are holy. You are pure. You are perfect." It's revering him. That's how we begin our prayer according to the pattern that Jesus gave us. Reverence. And then we see response. The second part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." No request there either, is there? We're not asking God for anything. We're just saying, "God, as I recognize who you are, I want to just step back and say, I want you to have your way. Because my way isn't the best. You are an awesome God who is above all. And so I'm going to step back and I'm going to surrender all of me to you." Again, we're not asking God to do anything for us. We're just looking at who God is, and our response is one of awe and the desire to step back and say, "You lead. Your will be done, not mine." Then we come to the third R. Now we have request. Most of us, I would dare say, were taught to pray what I will call grocery list prayers. "God, good morning. Thank you for giving me a good night's rest. Now I need this, 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 and they need that, and we need this, and would you help me? And amen, see you tomorrow." It's all been requests about what we want him to do for us. But if you look at Jesus' pattern, requests, they're in there, but they're way down the list. We're worshiping him. We're responding to him. Daniel Henderson uses this term: we're seeking God's face. He talks about seeking God's face rather than seeking God's hand. God's hand is what he does for us. God's face is who he is. Another statement mentioned by Daniel Henderson is this: if we seek God's hand, we may miss his face. But if we seek his face, he is willing to give us his hand. But we seek his face first. Now we come to the time of request. "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What is this talking about? This is talking about our resources and our relationships. Resources, our daily bread. Relationships, the forgiveness. And isn't this what most of our requests are about? Our resources, the things we need, and the relationships, you know, that person that I struggle with, and this, and that person that hurt me, and this problem that I'm having, and that's what it's about. Part of this pattern, recognizing who God is, responding, and then coming to request, is allowing the Word and who God is to shape our request. Rather than us just spewing out all the stuff we need, we're saying, God, because of who you are, I ask this request in confidence, understanding that you're able to do what I'm asking. Then we come to readiness. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We must understand that we are in a battle. When we begin to follow Jesus Christ, we have a mortal enemy called Satan, and he is out to destroy us. We are in a war, in a battle. And so this part of our prayer is saying, God, as I move forward, as I face tomorrow, as I face next week, I'm going to remember who you are. You are God. You are in control. Here's my response. I've asked requests, but now as I move forward, here's what I'm confident of. I can trust you with whatever comes my way. It's preparing us as we move forward. You say, well, how does this work in practice? I don't even need you to turn in the scripture for this. You know Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Let's just stop there. In this pattern of praying, we look to see who is God. And in Psalm 23, we discover he is shepherd and provider. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So under reverence, we step back and we say, God, I just want to worship you because you are my shepherd. I praise you today, God, because you are the one who provides for me. God, I just want to say thank you because you are the shepherd who leads me as I walk through life. And then I can start moving towards response. Father, understanding that you are my shepherd and my provider, I just want to step back and say, I know that I can walk with confidence down the path that you have for me today because you're going to guide me in a good way. God, when I look at the reality that you are shepherd and provider, I realize that I need somebody to lead me and that I'm not capable of taking care of my own needs. I need somebody to provide for me. And so I'm going to look to you because I can, knowing who you are. You are the shepherd. And you are my provider. And so that's my response back to him. And then I allow who he is to shape my requests. God, you're my shepherd. And I'm getting ready to go into a meeting this afternoon. And my business is in the balance here. Would you guide me through this meeting? Would you give me the words to say? Would you give me the right thoughts so that we make the right decisions? Or maybe we say, God, you're my provider. And we have this situation in our family. We don't know how we're going to meet this need. And so, God, my provider, I'm just going to hand this over to you and ask that you will supply this need. God, you see my brother? You see my sister at church? They don't have any finances to take care of their car right now, and their car's broken down. You're their provider, God. So based upon who you are, knowing that that's what your word tells me, that you are the one who provides, you're the one who guides, Would you intervene? Would you provide for them in a miraculous way? That's the request. And I'm not just spewing off all of my wants, but I'm allowing the Scripture and the Holy Spirit to guide where my prayer goes. And then we get to the readiness part. This is a time of confidence. And we can say, Father, I really don't know what tomorrow brings. But I'm confident because you tell me that you're my shepherd and you're my provider, that whatever I face tomorrow, I can just look right at you going, you're going to be my guide. I can live each day confident that you are in charge and that you will lead me down the right path if I will simply follow you. So God, I look to tomorrow with just a sense of excitement because you are my shepherd and you are the one who's going to provide everything I need. That's just a simple explanation or example of this pattern of reverence and response and request and readiness. So here's what I want to encourage you to do, to try it. Probably some of the simplest places, one of the simplest places to begin is the Psalms. Maybe this afternoon or tomorrow morning, whenever you read the Scripture, go to a Psalm. And just ask yourself, what does it tell me about God? What can I learn about Him? And once you see what it says about God, spend some time in reverence. For me, when I come into the office, I have a notepad, and I'm working through the Psalms. I'm in Psalm 24, 25, along in there right now. And for me, it's helpful to journal a little bit. So I will write the name of the psalm or the number of the psalm, and then whatever I discovered about God, Psalm 23, God is my shepherd. And then I just begin writing reverent things, who God is and what that means to me. Spend time in reverence. Then express your response to Him. Understanding who you are, God, this is what comes from me. This is the response that flows out of me as I understand who you are. And then once you've spent some time there, then you can make your request to God. And allow who He is and your response to who He is be the guide for your requests. And then finally, let who God is prepare you for the future. We call that readiness. What you discover about God today may not be something that you need in that moment, but tomorrow you may go, wow, I read yesterday that God is my refuge, and I'm in a storm right now. So I can confidently run to Him, my refuge. So God, as I look to the future, whatever you're showing me about who you are, I'm going to tuck that away and be ready as I face tomorrow. Now, some of you may be thinking, is this the only way to pray? No. When it comes to your prayer for your meal, don't let the food get cold. Well, God, we got to revere you. We're going to pull a psalm out in here. We're going to find out who you are, and then we're going to respond and then ask you to bless it. And then, you know, if you're about to be in a car wreck, God is not going to say, not going to hear them. They didn't revere me. They didn't respond before they asked a request. No, go, God, help me. Okay? This is a pattern that perhaps might be useful in your personal time with God. And it works in a corporate setting as well. You're going to hear more about this. But I believe that as we look at this pattern, it may be instrumental in transforming our own personal prayer lives. That's just a few thoughts this morning on prayer. It's where I'm at. So pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Let's pray together, and then we'll celebrate communion. Father, we know that you're an incredible God. You're the only true and living God. We know a lot about you. We can list off trait after trait after trait. Would you help us to slow down? And as we understand something about you, help us to spend time just without asking you for anything, just saying, God, you are so worthy of my praise because this is who you are. And then let us consider how who you are impacts our lives daily. Before we get to any of the request part, thank you that we can bring requests. You told us we could. We can bring anything to you. But Lord, help us to seek your face first. And then as we learn who you are, let that prepare us for tomorrow as you give us life. Let it give us confidence that we can trust you. Teach us to pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.